Psalm 61. Psalm 61. This mic on here.
Psalm 61. We're going to talk to you this morning, and I know I did not finish on how to be happy in your home, but my mind moves on to a new subject quickly. Brother Lehman, that's why I always forget about announcing for the Acme receipts, by the way. Everybody's wanted to, I was asked again this morning about recovering that box that's decorated up for the Browns, but I wanted to leave it through the rest of the program to antagonize you, to try to get you to want to beat the Browns every week. And so after the program's over, it's going to be redecorated. But there is an Acme box back there for your Acme receipts. You turn those in. That turns into cash at the end. And Brother John said like $350 or something? Yeah, over $300 last year was brought back in. And I don't remember what it went for. Did it go toward the mortgage last year? Or building fund, yeah, toward the mortgage. So anyway, let me encourage you. Look, you can get... You can take 10 tracks and get points just for handing out tracks. You can go to, you can go to a mall and hand out tracks. You can go to a parking lot and put them under windshield wipers. There's a lot of ways. And if you put 10 tracks in your pocket, you'll find out that in a week there's more than 10 people you come in contact with. And especially that little thank you track, I've not had anybody refuse to take one of those from me. Of course, I have them at gunpoint when I do it, but no, just kidding. Hand out tracts. And I'm trying to encourage you to do things that we all should do. Okay? So get involved in it. The program is not to hurt you. Oh, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. You really, really, really can. The truth of the matter is everybody in here can do this. And you can get, I made it hard enough that you're going to have to work. You're not going to get 20 points just for doing nothing. Okay? This is not the welfare mentality program where you just, show up and cash your check, okay? You're going to have to work, but it's within everybody's reach to do it. And our subject today is how to be happy with your daily walk. How to be happy with your daily walk. Most Christians are not genuinely happy with their daily walk with God because they really don't have a daily walk with God. They really don't, okay? But there's some simple things. That's why that devotion sheet is there. I mean, it takes a couple of minutes to read those scriptures and fill in the blanks. It's very simple. Simple things like reading the Bible every day. Simple things like praying every day. Simple things like handing out a tract or witnessing every day. When you get into a habit of doing this every day, you'll find that you'll be much happier as a Christian. And you'll be much happier about your relationship with God. Okay? It's sort of like asking... a husband, how's your relationship with your wife? Well, it's great. We haven't talked in weeks. No, you're like, it's not a good relationship because you haven't done anything. You haven't spent time together. Okay? And so our daily walk with God is all about spending time with God. Now, look at the text here. I'm going to have to hurry. And I'm not going to finish this today. I have 13 pages of notes in front of me. Let me see. Is it 13? Yep, it is. I thought I was lying. 13 pages of notes. I'd like to get through 5. To do that, I'm going to have to go quick, and to be honest, when I go quick, people say, when you go quick, what do you have to cut out? I cut out scripture verses, because for every point here, I'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, let me just see, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all right, there's more than 30 verses just for point number 1, okay, so I have to cut things, but you got to understand the way my brain works. Once I get into something, I start looking up scriptures, I start putting them down, and then I say, I can't leave this one out. It's good. Oh, wait, I can't leave that one out. That one's better. Well, let's put this one in too. That's good. So when I get into the sermon, I have to cut verses because I would just get 1 point out, okay, with 30-some verses. And, of course, my comments on them. So I want you to understand that I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm not trying to make you feel... like you're an inferior Christian. Not at all. I'm trying to help you reach the potential that I know you have. And sometimes we need to be pushed a little bit because the world keeps telling us we can't be a good Christian. We can't. It's unreasonable to be a good Christian. And I'm telling you, it's your reasonable service. You can do it. You can achieve it. You just need to get that mindset. And sometimes you just need a little bit of a push to get there. And that's what we're trying to do with this program. Invite people to church. Read your Bible. Hand out tracts. Attend all the services. These are the things that make a good Christian on any level, and things we need to keep working on. So Psalm 61, let's read it together. You read silently. Verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." That covert means a covering. "For thou, O Lord, hast heard my vows." Notice the word, "heard my vows." "Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praises unto thy name forever." Notice this phrase, "that I may daily perform my vows." Now you notice in verse 5 when he says, "O God, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows." And then in verse 8 he says, "that I may daily perform my vows." This is David writing. You can tell by the introduction up there to the chief musician upon Nagina. That actually means that this psalm was written and given to the person who led the stringed section in the temple worship, the musicians who played the strings and the guy who led the strings. This was specifically written for them. Remember that David was a harpist, so he understood strings. He wrote the music for this. He also wrote the words for this. When he writes this, he's giving some information here, and he's talking about these vows. Now, for us, these daily vows he's talking about, that would be like our daily devotions. This would be our daily prayer time. This would be our daily Bible reading. And he's calling them vows. And I find that kind of interesting because a vow is like a promise. A vow is a commitment to someone. We think of a husband and wife saying they're what? Marriage vows, right? And these are commitments. These are promises to each other. And he talked about this daily relationship where he was, you'll notice he starts out, "Hear my cry." So he's talking about prayer. And then he thanks God for his salvation. He's talking about his daily devotions and his daily walk with God. So how can I be happy with my daily walk with God? And by the way, Absalom has already led a revolt. When David is reading this, David has probably already fled to the caves to keep from needing to kill his son or be killed by his son. It's probably some of the same caves that he was hiding in when he was running from Saul. And this is all going on when he is writing this to God. And I said that because even in the midst of hardship and trial and problems and situations, he did not neglect his daily vows, his daily walk. Here's what happens. You start getting a daily walk with God and the devil brings things. He either brings hardships or problems that get you out of your daily routine of walking with God, or he brings success and fun and entertainment. It doesn't matter. To the devil, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative, anything to keep you from walking with God. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. Doesn't have to be a sinful thing. Anything that he can use to keep you from walking with God, he'll do. You know, I used to always say to our young people when I was a youth director, one of the easiest places to get backslidden is a Christian school or a Bible college. And here's why. You get so busy in this religious activity that you have every day, you use it as a substitute for your daily walk with God. And you're using the school's chapel or the school's morning devotions as your personal devotions. And you get very backslidden. I've watched that happen. So we got to understand how important daily vows are. Let's talk about a few things here. The psalmist said in Psalm 142, verse 3, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me." Notice he mentioned he was overwhelmed. Psalm 143, verse 4. Wherefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me? My heart within me is desolate. Now you'll notice in this text, in verse 2, he says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee," when my heart is what? Overwhelmed. When you are overwhelmed, you've got to understand that quite often you don't feel very happy about your daily walk with God because you're being overwhelmed. And it is in those moments when it is the most vital and the most important to keep up your daily walk with God, or as the psalmist said, or David said here, your daily vows. Look, I love our grandkids. We'll be leaving today, and we'll go to Chicago. And I had a grandson whose birthday was last Sunday. My daughter's birthday was on the 20th. My son-in-law's birthday is like October 4th next week. We'll go there and celebrate their birthdays. On Monday and Tuesday, Brother Gomez has a conference. That's at their church. We'll be there. We'll be able to celebrate birthdays with them. Wednesday morning, since I'm halfway there, I will drive the other 6 hours to Minnesota. My grandkids there have birthdays in October, the beginning of October. And I have a car full of presents for all of these people. And I'll see my son James and his fiance Nicolina, and I'll see them on Thursday night. And on Friday morning, I'll leave and drive back to Chicago. And on Saturday morning, I'll leave and drive back to here. Can I tell you something? I want to see my grandkids. I want to see my children. I want to give them gifts. I want the fellowship and the relationship with them. But can I tell you something? I hate the trip. I hate the trip. I want to be in Chicago and see them, but I don't want to drive 6 hours. I want to be in Minnesota and see them, but I don't want to drive 6 more hours away from home. And then the worst part is when I'm sitting in Minnesota and in my mind I'm looking east and thinking, I'm 12 hours from home. And I'll drive 6 hours. And I know, for those of you that drive a lot, it doesn't sound like much, but I'm getting to a place where after an hour, I am so bored, I don't know what to do with myself. I don't fall asleep, but my wife will say, I'll be like this. And she'll grab my ear. What are you thinking? Because I'm running off the road, and I'm not tired. My mind is 1,000 miles away. I'm writing sermons. I'm planning things. And I'm thinking, I just want to get out of this car. Okay? I hate the journey, but I love the relationship. You hearing me? You know what? We all love the relationship with God, but we hate the journey sometimes. We hate the journey. And you got to understand this. If I want to see them and be with them and give them birthday presents, I have to go through the journey to make that happen. Are you following me? You're going to have to go through the daily journey with God, the daily walk, even though the journey might not be as pleasant. You say, preacher, do you wake every morning and you're excited about walking into your office and sitting down and going through your prayer sheet? Every morning do you wake up and you're so excited to sit down at your desk and read the Bible? Some days, but not every day. But I understand something. Even though the journey may seem difficult, and by the way, think about this. I mean, I'm driving 6 hours in an air-conditioned car with cruise control and, you know, a radio that I don't know, it probably has capability of launching a space shuttle. I don't know what it can do. You know, I'll drive and listen, you know, to football games the whole time I'm driving, which is more of a distraction. But you know, and yet I complain, right? Yet I complain. We have all the opportunities in the world to be able to have a daily walk with God, and yet we don't take advantage of them. And what happens is the problems of life come and seem to overwhelm us. And we feel overwhelmed, and it pushes us further and further away from God. So quickly, let me give you a few things here. How to be happy with your daily walk. First of all, understand it takes daily consistency. Daily consistency. Look at verse 8. So will I sing praises unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let me ask you a question. Do you have daily problems? Do you have problems? Or are your problems just like once a week? Really? You have problems every day? Oh. Do you have daily temptations? Or are you just tempted like once a month? Oh, you have daily problems. You have daily temptations. Then you need a daily walk with God. You don't want to just walk with God on Sunday. You need to walk with God on Monday just as much as you walk with God on Sunday and every other day of the week. So we need to understand we have daily problems. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, verse 10, As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? In Psalm 42, David said, daily my enemies, they constantly attacking me, just as if they would take a sword and stick into my bones, they are daily after me. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7, the scripture says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. everyone mocketh me. Jeremiah said, every day these people are mocking me. Every day I have a problem. Every day I have a struggle. You need to make sure that your daily walk is, first of all, consistent, which means that it is daily because your problems are daily. Not only that, but secondly, you need a daily walk not only because you're daily you have problems, but can I tell you this? Daily, God has promises and blessings for you that you will miss if you don't have a daily walk with Him. Every day, God has something for you. The psalmist said in Psalm 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Isn't that a great verse? Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Man, remember when they were in the wilderness, God provided for them when? Daily. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, when Jesus was teaching them in the model prayer how to pray, He said, pray like this, give us this day our daily bread. Every day God has something for you. Every day. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The song that we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, it comes from that passage of Scripture right there in Lamentations chapter 3, and verses, actually it comes from verse 23, the very end there. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 2, blessed is the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are you saying? Every day God has promises for you. Every day. You know, I used to have labs. I had a golden lab, and then I had a chocolate lab. The golden lab was, I don't know, 17, I think, maybe 18, when he died, and the chocolate lab was close to the same age, 15 to 18. Okay, so you got to realize pretty much the life of my whole children while they were at home, and they were all gone before the last dog died. When the last dog died, all the kids were already gone and married. So I had these two labs. They were extremely well trained. Joe Boyd used to say to me, can you come and train my wife like that? Because anything you wanted my dog to do, I could get him to do. Samson, the male, the first one, the golden lab, was a little bit smarter, well, a little bit more cooperative than Molly. Molly was the chocolate lab. She was bigger. Samson was a medium size. Realize there's three sizes in labs, and there's a medium, there's a small, a medium, and a large. Molly was the large size. I think when she died, she was 110 pounds. And she was a big, big dog. You put a saddle on her and make her a pony. I mean, she's a big dog. And I used to think she was stupid. Now, I got Samson, he was a puppy. They brought him home in a shoebox. Some people brought puppies to Vacation Bible School to give away. And the missionary who was staying at my house brought one home for his kids that were staying at my house and brought one home for my kids. I was away preaching somewhere. I came home and there were two dogs at my house. And he said, now if it's a problem, I can take it back. No, the kids have been playing with this puppy for 2 days. And you want me to tell them, no, you can't have it. He has to take it back because he was preaching every night at another church's VBS. He brought these puppies home. So that's how we got Samson. So Samson I had from a puppy. And so I trained him. Molly, I got her when she was 3 years old. A co-worker of my son went through a divorce, and he got the dog, and he couldn't take care of it, working all the time. And one day my son, James, showed up with this dog and said, you know, this guy at work can't take care of this dog. I know you love labs. Boom, here you go. Thanks. Samson was actually still alive at the time, and at first he hated her. She would run around and pull on his little tags on his collar, and I had never seen Samson growl or snap at anybody, and she would pull on his collar, and he'd go, and snip at her ears and try to put her in her place. And she was about 3 when I got her. So I said all that to say this. When I was training those dogs, Samson, when he was a little bitty puppy, I would take a hot dog, and I would tear it up in pieces, and I'd put a piece in my hand, and I'd get him to smell it and get all excited. And I would hold his collar, and I'd push on his rear end, and I would say, sit. I'd give him a piece of hot dog. And I'd hold his collar, and I'd grab his rear end, and I'd say, sit. And I'd give him a piece of hot dog. I did that three times. While I was reaching for the hot another piece of hot dog, I turned around. He looked at me and went. He was ready. In 1 week, I had that dog sitting. I had him laying down as a puppy. He was so smart. And by the way, every day I would review what we learned the day before. First we learned to sit. Now we learned to lay down. Now we learned to stay. Now we learned to come. Put a leash on him. And I went through all this routine. And I'd roll over, you know. Eventually I could put a hot dog on the top of his nose. And he would stare at me. And I'd go like that. And he'd flip it and catch it in his mouth. I could tell that dog to go to any room in the house. And he knew the rooms by name. He knew my kids by name. I would sit the kids in the living room. And I would say, Samson, go to Joey. Which one's Joey? Go to Joey. And if he would get the right person, they had a treat for him. He learned all their names and figured out which kid was which one. He was a very smart dog, but I kept working on tricks with this dog, working on small things. And you know what I would find? I used to do these tricks at a certain time. Usually it was like at dinner time. And it was right after we ate dinner. When we would eat dinner, he was not allowed in the dining room. He had to stay in the kitchen or the living room. And he would sit at the opening door. And if he was in the room, I would look at him and I would say, Samson. And I'd do that. He would get up, walk out of the room, turn around, lay down, and then here's the threshold of the room. He would lay down, look at me, and he'd put one paw across. And I'd say, hey, back up. He'd pull his paw back. And I'd be looking the other way. He'd slide that paw across. Just one paw across the threshold. I'd look at him. He'd slide it back. I used to tell people, I'd say, watch this. And I said, now watch, while I'm not looking. He'd slide that paw in. It was hilarious, just like a kid, just like a child. But as soon as we were done eating, when he heard the plates being clinked and the silverware, guess what? This is when he gets treats, because this is when we review all his tricks. So as soon as he heard the clinking of the dishes and the silverware, whew, there he is, sitting right beside me. You know why? Time to be fed. Can I tell you something? God has benefits he wants to give you every day. Every day. As soon as you wake up in the morning, think about this. God has a treat for you. What do you want to do? Get right close to his side. Sit up. I'm ready. I'm ready, God. What do you have for me today? I'm saying, if you want to be happy in your daily walk, you're going to have to understand it must be consistent. It must be daily because you have daily promises. It must be consistent. You must do it daily because God has daily promises and daily blessings for you. And let me mention another thing here. It needs to be daily because it sets your daily priorities. It sets your daily priorities. The psalmist said in Psalm 145, verse 2, every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it says, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Daily priorities. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they that received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures, what's the next word? Daily. Whether those things were so. Daily. It sets your priorities daily. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die, guess that next word, daily. Every day. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. All of these things. And remember in Numbers, they were supposed to have a daily meat offering. Chapter 4 and verse 16 tells you that. We need to do this daily because it sets our daily priorities for the day. You say, you don't understand. I have a busy life, but it's not more important than your walk with God. You don't understand. I have to, you know, get showered. I have to eat breakfast. And I have to get ready for work. I understand all that. But your walk with God is more important than that. And because of that, it sets your priorities. In the morning, right away, it sets the priorities for the day. I'm just trying to tell you, if you want to be happy with your daily walk, you must perform it daily. Perform it daily. Now, secondly, if you're going to be happy with your daily walk, not only does it need to be daily and consistently, we need to make sure that we perform it. That means we carry it out. Look at your text here in Psalm 61. Look at verse 8. So will I sing praises unto thy name forever, that I may daily, what's the next word? Perform my vows. Perform them. The psalmist said in Psalm 65, verse 1, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Performed. That means I carry it out. Our problem is that quite often we know what we should do, but we don't do it. Okay? We know what we should do, but we don't carry it out. We don't actually do our job. It's kind of interesting, you know, coaching young men. Sometimes the things young men say are fascinating to me. So we're coaching a football team, and I'm explaining to this guard that we're going to pull you. And when the guard who's playing in here, okay, the guards are right beside the center. There's a center and two guards and then two tackles. This guard, this guy's going to block down this way, and you're going to pull out and lead the running back around this side. And the first guy you see on the end, the first colored shirt that's not the same as yours, the first one there, whoever it is, if it happens to be the outside linebacker, if it happens to be the cornerback, depending upon what they have done in their defensive scheme, doesn't matter. The first shirt that's not your color that's out here, you want to hit that guy, block that guy, the first one. Okay? I got another running back's going to be a lead blocker, and he's going to take the next one, but you take the first one. So we're watching the film, and I have a guy flying, and Micah did it, and we have some other people doing it, a guy named Gary Way. I actually have a drone filming my game and a guy from the sideline, and now the next day we're watching the film of the game so I can show them. And we're stopping it, and I have a little pointer, and I'm saying, look, here's you. Now, what are you supposed to do? At the snap of the ball, what are you supposed to do? And he says, I'm supposed to hit the first guy in a different colored jersey around that end. Okay, here we go. Here comes the film. And here he comes pulling out. And here comes a guy with a different colored jersey. And that guy runs right by him. And he goes out to hit the second guy. And I said, who are you supposed to hit? He said, oh, I know, the first guy. I said, okay, you know it. Let's watch this play again. Later in the game, we call the same play. Here you are. What are you supposed to do? I'm supposed to hit the first guy in a different colored jersey. Let's run the film. Here you go. Here comes this guy. You let him run right by you, and you went for the second guy. But the back is already going out there to hit the second guy, and nobody hits this guy. You were thrown for a loss again. Do you understand? Oh, yeah. He said, oh, yeah. I understand, Brother Grimoni. I understand. I said, okay, what are you supposed to do? I'm supposed to hit the first guy. I know. You can move on. I know. I got it. The next day, guess what? Same thing. Every single time. But he knows it. To know it and perform it are two different things. You understand what I'm saying? To know it and perform it are two different things. If you want to be happy with your daily walk, you must perform the things you know. Most of you have been saved a long time. You know. You know. If I want to walk with God, you read the Bible every day. Knowing it doesn't change the fact that you're going to be thrown for a loss unless you perform it. I need to pray every day. Okay? I need to tell people about Christ. I need to attend church. You know it. You know it. You know it. Okay? Now, perform. Perform it. You know, if you don't show up for work for a couple of days and the boss calls you and says, where you been? You're supposed to be here at 8 o'clock. You say, oh, I know. But you haven't been here. Yeah, but I know I'm supposed to be there. Is that okay? Does he think that's good as long as you just know it? No. He expects you to be there, right? Not good enough to just know it. You got to show up. You got to be there. Look, God walked with Adam in the cool of the garden every day. Every day. When God showed up and Adam wasn't there and God said, where art thou? He wasn't saying, where are you at? He knew where he was. He was saying, why aren't you here? Adam, why aren't you here? We meet here every day. You know that. We meet here every day and I'm here and you're not here. Where art thou? I used to preach a message called, where art thou? Until tomorrow morning, God's looking for you. And when he shows up and you're not there, you know what he says? Joe, where art thou? Why aren't you here? Well, I'm... No. Priority. Performance. Understand we must perform that which we know. Carry it out. K carry out your prayer life. And let's talk about prayer for just a couple of minutes here. I'm trying to sway between those. When the fans are on, these things move, which, by the way, is such a blessing that I have this constant swaying of a ship here with all of my vertigo issues the whole time I preach. I really need to wear a hat so I can't see that thing waving at me the whole time. But it's just such a blessing. I love the decorations. They're wonderful to look at. They don't perform well with what I'm trying to do, but that's okay. I appreciate their effort. Prayer. We must be people that carry out this concept. Look at verse 1. Notice that most of what he is saying in this psalm about his daily vows has to do with prayer. He says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my" what? Prayer. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am." By the way, great word there. I'm overwhelmed. I'm crying out to you because I want you to take me and pick me out of this overwhelmed state and put me up on this rock that is higher than I am. He said in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." You know, it's good for you every day to perform or carry out this kind of a prayer life, because if nothing else, it makes you humble yourself and look up. It reminds me every morning that I need to not think about me. That's why Paul said, "I die daily." But I need to think about Him. That I have a great God that loves me, that saved me, and wants to bless me today. Today. Did you realize this morning when you woke up, God wants to bless you today? He does. He wants to do something for you today. He may have blessed you in the past, and that's great. I'm sure He has. But He wants to, and He's going to bless you in the future. And that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? He wants to bless you today. Today. And part of the blessing God has for you is just to talk with you. You can hear from Him in the Scriptures, and He can hear from you in prayer. And you can speak with Him today. 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 And every day. If we will perform our daily vows. Perform them. There's a need that only God can meet in our lives. That's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says that we're supposed to pray without ceasing. That's why there's so much in the Bible about prayer. The psalmist said here in verse 2, "From the end of the earth," from the end of the earth, no matter where I am, no matter what's going on, "I'll cry unto thee. I'll cry unto thee." Now, the sad reality is the end of that verse says, "When my heart is overwhelmed." Now, realize it does say, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." But quite often, we only have great prayer lives when we are overwhelmed. Some people call it foxhole Christianity. You know what foxhole Christianity is? When you're in the foxhole and the bombs are flying, everybody prays. Was it MacArthur that said, "There are no atheists in foxholes"? And one of the great generals made that famous statement, you know? It's true. But can I tell you something? You'll be happy with your daily walk if you don't just pray when you're overwhelmed, when you pray when things are good. And by the way, sometimes things are really, really good. Sometimes things are really, really bad. Most days, things are like this. Right? They're just kind of, not really great. We're not doing the crappy dance today, you know, but we're not depressed either. We're just kind of right here. Okay? Can I tell you, He's God of the mountain? Yes. He's God in the valley? Yes. But you know what? He's God all the way up the climb up and down too. Every single day. And every single day, whether I feel overwhelmed or whether I feel overjoyed, every single day I have problems and needs and situations. And every single day, God wants to bless me and meet with me. He wants to fellowship with me. He wants to show me that He loves me, and I need to show Him that I love Him. And that's going to require me performing my daily vows. You know, if we want God to answer our prayers, then there are some things that we have to move out of life to make priority time to pray. Our problem is our priorities are askew. There's so many other things that we make time for. For instance, and I'm not trying to beat you up on this, but, you know, to make a living, if you have a job, you show up on time. And you'll do that every day, all the time, for 50 years, you know, because you need the money to live. Understand that, and that's good. You need to understand you need God to live. And just as important it is for you to show up at work. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you should be a good example. If you're supposed to be there at 8, be there at 7:30. Be there early. Don't show up at the last minute. Be early. You do your job, do it well. Be the best worker at your place. It's the best testimony you can have to be the best worker there is there. I'm for that. I was that guy. Always have been that guy. But we can take that in the work arena, and we don't seem to have that same kind of work ethic when it comes to worship ethic. I want you to have a good work ethic, but it's more important for you to have a good worship ethic. And your worship ethic starts with understanding you need to come to God every single day. We're talking about how to be happy in your daily walk. If you're going to be happy in your daily walk, you're going to have to be consistent. It must be daily. Not only is it going to be consistent, you need to carry it out. You're going to have to perform it every single day. We're going to stop there. And next week, we'll continue to talk about that. We got 4 pages out of 13. We only got 9 more to go. So we're making progress. And we'll continue to talk about how to be happy with your daily walk. You know why? Look, people say, are you happy with your job? Most people say what? No. Are you happy with your income? Most people say? Are you happy with your neighborhood? Most people say? No. By the way, I'm happy with all those things, but anyway. Are you happy with what the government's doing, the way it's moving? Most people say, right? Yeah. Most people aren't happy with anything. Can I tell you what you should always be happy with? Your walk with God. Your walk with God. And the sad thing is, the devil robs you. He robs you of that joy. I mean, just as much as if he ran up and stole it out of your pocket. He robs you of that because he gets your mind so deceived in all these other areas that you don't consistently carry out the simple things we know that we got to do to walk with God every day. So we're going to keep talking about that. We're going to keep showing you scriptures about that. We're going to keep trying to encourage you to do that because it will bring you the joy, the satisfaction, and the Christian life you need. Look, you don't get close to God by coming to church. You come to church to get information to help you get close to God, but you're going to have to do that on your own. It doesn't happen because you're at church. If this is your relationship with God right here in this building, you don't have a relationship with God. Your relationship with God is educated here, encouraged here, sometimes rebuked here, but it's performed out there. And that's what we're striving for, so that you can be happy in your relationship with God. Let's stand. We dismissed in a word of prayer. And the preaching service will start somewhere between those things. I think it's 8 minutes, looks like, maybe.